Trend number 3, the evolving future of television. Most baby boomers can remember when television consisted of three big networks and a handful of local channels. TV was free, but it was also extremely limited in terms of content, choice, and convenience. Generation X grew up with an increasing number of channels as cable, satellite, and eventually telcos entered the market with pay TV models. Today, the millennials are coming of age just as TV is going through another upheaval as premium viewing migrates to the internet. Let's examine where this medium is now and where it is headed. According to research by Needham Insights' Laura Martin, one of the world's leading entertainment and internet analysts, the biggest players in the premium online video, or POV, ecosystem are YouTube, Hulu, Netflix, AOL, and Yahoo. Combined, they will spend about $750 million to produce internet-first TV series in 2013. That is just a fraction of the $45 billion that traditional network and cable channels will spend on programming in 2013. In fact, the increase in spending in the traditional TV ecosystem from 2012 to 2013 is $1.5 billion. Which is twice the total spending for premium online video content in 2013. Just as premium online video content lags far behind TV, so does the amount spent on advertising in that ecosystem. Television generates $77 billion in annual advertising revenue, while POV advertising reached a mere $4 billion in 2012. However, as the POV market grows, it will threaten many incumbents, because the economics of today's TV ecosystem depend on bundling content. Bundling makes sense for current providers for several reasons. One, the relatively few hit shows subsidize all of the non-hits. Only 10 to 20% of TV producers' costs are tied to hit shows. The other 80 to 90% of costs are spent on programs that attract fewer viewers and make essentially no money. Yet those shows with lower ratings give viewers more choices and a better viewing experience. Two, since the hit shows subsidize the non-hits, the content producers can stay in business even if they try new ideas that fail. Just as a diversified stock portfolio reduces risk, production companies can create a diverse portfolio of sitcoms, dramas, and reality shows, knowing that the profits from one or two ratings winners will offset all of the losers. And three, hit shows help viewers discover other shows. When a new show follows a top-rated show on the schedule, it often builds a following simply because, thanks to inertia, viewers find it easier to keep watching the same channel. That was the formula NBC followed for more than a decade with its must-see TV block of programs on Thursday nights, including Friends, Seinfeld, and Frasier. By contrast, online video is completely unbundled. Users can choose to watch one specific episode without paying for any other shows. This means that they can cherry-pick only the top-rated shows without staying tuned for a lower-rated show that have won them over. To appreciate the impact that unbundling is likely to have on the TV industry, consider what it has done to two other industries that produce media content. In the music industry, iTunes unbundled the CD in 2001, enabling customers to buy one song at a time for 99 cents, instead of being forced to buy all 10 songs on the CD for $9.99. It's no coincidence that global music sales dropped from $38 billion in 1999 to $16.5 billion in 2012. In other words, the industry has lost 57% of its annual revenues in the past 13 years. In the newspaper industry, online content providers have unbundled individual news stories from each other. Now, it's no longer necessary to buy an entire newspaper to read a specific article. In addition, classified ads and help wanted listings have migrated to specialized sites such as Craigslist and Monster.com. According to the Newspaper Association of America, U.S. newspaper revenue has plummeted from $80 billion in 2000 to $35 billion in 2012. That drop is eerily similar to the free fall in revenues in the music industry since unbundling began. In both cases, the revenues have fallen 57%. And if we leave out subscription renewals and consider only advertising revenue, the loss is even more catastrophic. Between 2000 and 2012, newspaper ad revenues dropped 70%, from $65 billion to $20 billion. But even as momentum grows for cable providers to unbundle their content, led by advocates such as Arizona Senator John McCain, studies show that the cable providers won't be the only ones to be hurt economically. The assumption is that consumers would save money by choosing only to pay for the channels they want to watch. However, a study by Ali Yuragoglu of Stanford and Greg Crawford of the University of Warwick examined how content makers would react if they were forced to unbundle their channels. They concluded that the most watched 50 channels would cost more if purchased separately than they do bundled together, because the content owners would simply renegotiate deals in order to make up for revenue losses. As premium video viewership increasingly moves online, the cable, satellite, and telco providers in the TV ecosystem are at risk of losing subscribers. In fact, Cablevision CEO James Dolan recently admitted that his company, which is the fifth largest cable operator with 3 million customers, could exit the TV business entirely in the face of such competition. If viewers are watching TV programs online, they won't need to subscribe to services like Cablevision, Comcast, or AT&T's UVerse. If these providers stop offering TV service, according to the Wall Street Journal, the channels such as HBO, Showtime, TBS, and so on would have to sell subscriptions directly to consumers. But that doesn't mean the cable and telco providers would go bankrupt. They could simply focus on charging consumers for broadband service. If viewing migrates completely to the internet, users will still need to pay AT&T, Comcast, or Cablevision for access. As Barron's points out, cable companies have spent $200 billion building out their networks over the past 15 years. And about two-thirds of U.S. households pay cable companies for high-speed internet service. The cable companies would still provide the pipes for transmitting TV shows, regardless of which ecosystem dominates. Based on this analysis, please consider the following forecasts. First, the biggest threat to the current TV ecosystem will ultimately not be the ability for viewers to stream online content to their television screens or to their computers. Instead, what seems most likely to disrupt the established rules of the game is the rise of mobile video viewing, or MVV, which will enable viewers to watch TV on their smartphones and tablets anywhere and anytime. In fact, MVV also threatens today's upstart businesses such as Netflix and Hulu. According to research by video technology firm FreeWheel, video on mobile devices is already swiftly replacing traditional TV viewing. In the first quarter of 2013, MVV reached 19% of total video views, up from 3% 1 year earlier. Similarly, eMarketer found that while Americans increased the time they spent watching television by 1% and time spent online by 4% in 2012, those gains were nothing compared to the 50% increase in the time Americans spent on mobile devices. The trends editors predict that MVV will achieve explosive growth through the rest of this decade. This view is supported by a recent study by Cisco, which projects that in 2017, mobile video will represent 66% of global media data traffic, up from 51% in 2012. The number of mobile users in the world will rise to 5.2 billion from 4.3 billion in 2012, and there will be more than 10 billion mobile devices, up from 7 billion total mobile devices in 2012. Second, despite predictions by experts such as Laura Martin that the shift to mobile devices will lead content producers to create shorter videos, it seems more likely that this will be only a short-term phenomenon. It's true that 86% of all videos viewed online in the first quarter of 2013 were under 5 minutes long. However, the trends editors believe that the popularity of short-form videos is due to limits on current technologies, rather than to user preferences. Consider that network and cable TV programming under 30 minutes is virtually non-existent. However, online video uses a lot of bandwidth, and currently it simply takes too long to download a 30-minute TV show. But the technology is rapidly catching up to viewer preferences. According to Cisco, average global mobile network speeds will increase by nearly 800%, from 0.5 megabits per second in 2012 to 3.9 megabits per second in 2017. When it becomes just as easy to stream a half-hour sitcom on a mobile screen as it is to watch the same show on a TV screen today, traditional TV viewership will decline rapidly and mobile viewing will explode. And third, the best defensive move for the players in the traditional TV ecosystem is to roll out TV Everywhere technology for their users. This technology allows every member of a household to watch his or her favorite TV channels on any mobile device, inside or outside of the home. Once customers enter a password to prove they are a cable or satellite subscriber, they can view any TV channel on a laptop, tablet, or smartphone, anywhere in the U.S. As Martin points out, using this technology is a smart strategy for TV providers because it addresses the needs of teenagers, who are most likely to use smartphones to watch TV. According to Martin's calculations of 50 years of TV subscription fees times $70 per month, keeping these young viewers as customers when they set up their own households, cable, satellite, and telco providers can generate $40,000 of lifetime revenue per customer. Even in the short term, the economic upside of such a strategy is tremendous. Barron's recently reported that cable and satellite providers lost almost 1% of subscribers in 2012, and that the losses could grow as young households opt for internet viewing. As Martin points out, if TV Everywhere allows providers to retain 5% of current multi-channel households that would have otherwise defected, the companies would save $4.2 billion each year in lost revenue.